And for our special time together this morning, let's begin in a word of prayer. Lord God, indeed, this is special time. You've anointed it. You've appointed it. You've chosen us to be here, and for that we give you thanks. We ask, Lord Jesus, that as you speak to us through your words this morning, we would take them to heart. Allow these words to help shape and mold and make us into the followers you truly want us to be. May then the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Got a bit of a confession to make this morning, and that is simply, I have a hard time saying no. I don't know if you can relate when it comes to ministry or mission or your job or the things you volunteer to do, but I just have a hard time saying no, and especially when it comes to ministry. You know, as a pastor, you're trained up to take what we do vocationally as really the importance of life and death. And that's what they tell you in seminary and Bible school. They say in your words and your actions and the things you do, you're dealing with things of eternity. So you begin to think, I think, more highly of yourself and your ministry. And you think things like, well, I have to, or I must, or life for this person hangs in the balance. But today we learn from Jesus that there is an appropriate time to say no. This is nothing new. There are many in our world and society today, even in the secular world, who would talk of the importance of no. Here are some quotes I found. What you don't do determines what you can do. That's pretty profound, and we're going to get back to that one. Half of the troubles of this life can be traced to saying yes too quickly and not saying no soon enough. The difference between successful people and really successful people is that really successful people say no to almost everything. The art of leadership is saying no, not saying yes. It is very easy to say yes. And then lastly, focusing is about saying no. You see, today in our gospel text, we find kind of a shocking passage of Jesus and his work and ministry. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. The text is there in your bulletin or a pew Bible in front of you, or you can call up your Bible on the iPhone, however you're going to do it. But have God's Word in front of you. It's important. We catch up with Jesus, who's in the beginning stages of his ministry. He's gone up to Capernaum. He's ministering. And his words are powerful and effective, but his words then become the healing and casting out of demons, which gives evidence then to the power and authority that Jesus has over the kingdom. And so as Jesus is coming to the house of Simon, he heals Simon's mother-in-law. And then do you see what happens there? At sunset. Now this is at the end of the day. And this is in the first century in an agrarian culture. At sunset, usually people are getting tucked back home. They can't see. They don't have a lot of lights. You know, they have candles or wax or whatever they're going to use. But the day is winding down at sunset, except for Jesus' day. His, it seems, is just beginning. He casts out a demon there. He heals a woman here, and you can imagine the people who have heard and now are coming to Jesus. But what does Jesus say to them? Jesus is exhausted, we surmise. Jesus goes to bed after a full night of work, but he's not too tired to get up early in the morning before the sun has come off to come up, to come to find a place of solitude and silence. And what do you suppose Jesus is doing in that time of solitude and silence? Well, he's praying, of course. He's seeking God's counsel. But Jesus can't find a quiet moment. No, not without the people tracking him down. They come running. They come walking. They find Jesus and say, well, Jesus, Lord, the people are looking for you to heal them and to do more work and to cast out demons. And then Jesus gives a surprising answer to them. As the people come looking for him in verse 42, Jesus says to them in verse 43, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. And then look what Jesus does. After he says his no, he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. He moved on. Is that only surprising to me, or are you a little surprised when you see that? Jesus said no to those who were seeking to be healed, to those who were seeking to be helped. But Jesus, how could you do this? We're going to take a look at this text and learn what's happening, and in so learning, learn the importance in our lives of also being able to say no. First, if we're going to say no, as Jesus said no, in a healthy way that respects ministry and life and faith, we first need to know our mission. And what do I mean by that? I don't mean know your vocation. That's different. Your personal mission may also lead into your vocation, but you have to start at the reason God has created you. And the Bible is clear about this, especially for those who are in Christ Jesus. God has prepared us for good works, that we might give glory to our Father in heaven. And that good work may or may not be our status or position in life, or even our vocation. In fact, Jesus says in verse 43, because he knows all too well his mission, he says, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. Jesus knew he was sent to preach the kingdom of God, not just here in Capernaum, but throughout all of Judea and Israel. And so too, we have been given gifts. God has prepared for us in advance. God has put a call on each of our lives. God has given us the tools and the equipment necessary to do his will and his work. Just like the Apostle Paul could say to the church at Corinth, I am called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Just like Paul could say to the church at Ephesus, I am the prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. And again in 1 Corinthians 4 says Paul, I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, what was Paul's vocation? He was a tent maker. He made tents. But what was his mission in life? His mission was to preach and proclaim Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. They're different. For Paul, he made tents that he could do the will and work of God. And we know what that ended up in most of the New Testament. And so we need to also know our mission in life, our calling. What has God prepared for you? I can say this, that God prepares for each of us who are in Christ Jesus good works that we might glorify our Father in heaven. Number two, if we're going to say no, as Jesus said no, We need to also seek God's counsel as Jesus sought God's counsel. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. He's seeking God's will and work for him, I believe, from day to day. There's pretty clear evidence that this was a habit of Jesus. In fact, we're going to hear in a moment a text that reminds us that Jesus went out often. But you see, Jesus first seeks God initially. He reminds us in these words from Matthew, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." One of our problems in society is that we don't really seek God first when it comes to the things we do. That is why Tim Ferriss can say, "What you don't do determines what you can do." What does he mean by this? He means, I think, or we can interpret in terms of this, these words and this text, that when we don't seek God first, we get too busy to do God's work. Let me say that again. When we don't seek God first, we get too busy to do God's work. And I know this from personal experience. You see, the world around us, they don't hesitate to ask for our commitment and our work. Maybe it's Boy Scouts. "Well, we're just kind of short on leaders this year." Okay? Maybe it's basketball. "Well, we need one more coach. I'm sure you would be good at this." Maybe it's other organizations. You see, out in the community, people don't hesitate to ask and then even expect your time and your commitment. But the problem with that is many of us say, "Yes, yes, yes, yes." And then when it comes to God's work, we have to say, "But God, I'm too busy to do your work." That's why Jesus knows firsthand to seek God's counsel first, so that he's not too busy to do the work to which he was called. Number two, Jesus seeks God's counsel there regularly. "Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." This is just a chapter ahead of where we are today in the Gospel of Luke. This is the Luke chapter 5. Jesus often, he made it a habit of going to God to seek his counsel. What would it look like if on a daily basis we woke up and prayed, "God, what would you have for me today?" I meet with a small group of men here in the prayer room behind us on Wednesday mornings. And one of those one of those men I meet with is Pastor Dave. And he always reminds me, whether it's in our time of discussion or prayer, that I may have a schedule and itinerary for the day, but that doesn't necessarily match up with God's schedule and itinerary. So I ought to be flexible to his will and work for me in the day. There are so many appointments on my calendar, but the important ones are the ones that are divine appointments that don't show up there. And so Jesus also then was seeking God's counsel submissively. "For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." Do we allow God's appointments to take precedent over our own? Can we say no to our own schedules? "You know what? I had a meeting planned, but my conversation with you is more important. And so I'll cancel that. I won't go. I won't show up." Can we do that? Would God ask that of us? Yeah, I think so. And then lastly, as we talk about saying no in a healthy way, we know our mission, we seek God's counsel, and then we don't give in. Boy, the pressure to say yes is sometimes intense, don't you think? And usually that intensity comes from our own minds. "I've got to do this. I must do this. If I don't do this, this person is lost. This person will hurt. There's nobody else that can do this." But guess what? God already may have somebody else assigned and appointed for that work, and you're getting in the way. Give careful thought, says the writer of Proverbs, to the paths for your feet, and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. You see, the people were looking for Jesus, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving. Now, I don't know if they tackled him, or if they were grabbing his robe, or if they were a little bit more subtle in their approach, and said, "But Rabbi, my daughter is dying. But Rabbi, my son cannot shake this demon. But Rabbi, if you leave, my mother surely will die." Yeah, I think they tried to keep him, all right. That's human nature. And yet, clearly, Jesus said no. There were some who were going to have to live with their demons, it seemed. There were some that were going to have to live with their diagnosis. Because Jesus said no. It's easy to say yes, says Tony Blair. But the art of leadership, I would say even more importantly, the art of followership is saying no. And when we say no, we need to be strong and firm in our convictions that God has in his perfect will and plan something else for this young girl. Other plans for this boy. A different will and course for this mother. You see, God has not only our days numbered, but our appointments as well. He has work for us to do to glorify him and to advance his kingdom. And sometimes that simply means saying no. Amen. Please stand now as we sing together our hymn.